Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney on KHTK Sports 1140 and HaneyBiz.com. Mark is a well-known local entrepreneur who has a passion for growing companies and uncovering the stories of other successful business people. Mark will share his and their experiences and hopes to ignite the entrepreneurial spirit within you. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right, all right, all right. Are you hanging or are you banging this Saturday morning in mid-December? If you are hanging in Sacramento, no worries. You're just hanging. No problem, because we are doing enough banging for all of us, for the both of us.
You know it.
So sit back and relax. Let me and the boys carry you for the next 60 minutes or so. Today we are talking about my favorite, well, maybe my second favorite subject. We're talking about growing our businesses. Gentlemen, I'm here with Marcus Haney and Tom Cisneros. How are you guys doing this fine Saturday morning?
You've got an incredible amount of energy this morning, and I feel like I'm not even woken up yet, but I'm there now.
It is Saturday. I am always on fire when I walk into the KHTK studios. Marcus, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Fired up to be here.
Well, Wait a minute. The reason you're fired up, we all know Friday's date night.
We are talking about growing our businesses. Now, your last show is coming up here.
It's not coming soon enough, is it?
I think you've got three shows left. Yeah, I can't wait to...
to say goodbye.
To give you that final hug. Today, we are talking about growing our businesses. Now, you are, Tom, you're going off. You're starting a new business. Marcus, you've started a business. Let's talk about how to grow a business. Why? But let's start with why. Why do you guys want to grow your businesses, right?
Yeah, I personally do. I have a mission that I want to build a business where I can afford an entrepreneurial opportunity for as many veterans as I possibly can. So that's kind of my overarching goal and why I wake up in the morning and, you know, try my hardest.
Big why, yeah. What about you, Tom?
I want to be Mark Haney.
Mr. Cisneros.
Well, the deal is, you know, I was previously self-employed, and I've been fortunate enough to work for the enterprise for, I'm going on 3 years now. Yeah. And I want to get back to where I was, and that's building a great team of professionals and, you know, work towards something that we all want so desperately, and that's health, wealth, and happiness.
Yeah. And cybersecurity is a growing thing, so you're going to take on that enormous opportunity. It's going to be fun, and I look forward to seeing both of your guys' success. But growing a business, when you start scaling a business, you know, some of these companies are a little more mature. You guys right now are in the startup phase, but some of the companies that come on the show, some of the companies that we own are a little bit more mature. And you think about scaling those businesses. How fast should we grow? I mean, if you grow it, you know, if you grow at 10% per year, I mean, you're going to double the size of your business in 7 years, right? If you grow at 12%, you're going to double in about 5 years. 30%, you're doubling in about 2.5 years. So some of the questions that I think we ask ourselves as entrepreneurs is like, wow, what does that fast growth mean? I mean, it's kind of scary. You start talking about financing this stuff. You start talking about building teams, all the technology. I mean, it could be a lot of risk when you start hanging it all out on the line like that in growth. And, you know, what's the role of a CEO or an entrepreneur? I mean, when you start getting up to 100 employees, 200 employees, 300 employees, I mean, that's a whole different ball game than where you guys are at today.
Yeah, you're managing managers, right?
Yeah, exactly. You've got, I mean, a whole host of other issues, and it can be scary. I mean, something as simple as public speaking, right? Everybody's afraid of public speaking, but I mean, as you're a CEO, hey, you got to get up in front of everybody and share the vision, share the dream a little bit. But that public speaking is, I mean, I read the other day, I think public speaking's like the number one fear in the world that people have, right? Have you guys heard that?
I have heard that.
Yeah, and number two, do you know what number two is?
No. Well,
number two is their fear of death.
Oh, wow.
So I guess that would mean that if you go to a funeral and, you know, you would rather be in the casket than up doing the eulogy. Does that sound about right?
Wow.
That's supposed to be a joke, Tom.
I'm really processing the death thing. I'm not afraid of dying.
At your age,
I'm afraid of not living.
That's attitude. Yeah. Well, today we are going to meet two fearless men, both facing the real-world challenges of growing their businesses, scaling those businesses. Later in the show, we will meet dentalpreneur Tim Herman. is the man behind A Plus Dental and also serves as city council person for the city of Roseville. But after the break, you might want to fasten your seatbelt. You are about to meet the man behind the fast-growing real estate software company, SkySlope. Mr. Tyler Smith is in the house today,
guys.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, and I always, at the end of every segment, I usually say, join the conversation on Facebook Live. And, you know, I was thinking about what does that mean? When you join the conversation on Facebook Live, that is actually an opportunity to ask our guest a question. That's an opportunity to
ask Mark a question.
With me a little bit, see what happens at the commercial break. So, I mean, if you're just one of those guys that you're sitting in front of a computer or at your cell phone comfortable, come on over to Facebook Live, man. Get the real world scoop. What happens when these guys are on break? Because it gets ugly, my friend.
It does.
So feel free to join us on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Sun Systems Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Tyler Smith, the fast-rising entrepreneurial star of Sacramento. He's the CEO of real estate software company, SkySlope. How you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing great. It's early, but...
It's going to be a late night tonight. We're going to the Uriah fight, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a late night, that's
so,
for sure.
But you're here. We're here to share your story, so we need to have you. You're a little bit caffeinated, so see if you can keep up with the old man here.
Oh, come on.
All right, so SkySlope. Tell us about the business, because it's really a cool business, and you guys are growing like crazy.
Yeah, it's a B2B company. We sell directly to brokers. They license our software, and they provide it to their real estate agents. So what we do is we manage the entire transaction online for realtors throughout all 50 states.
And then what happens? I mean, the realtors, we own a real estate company, and we started using SkySlope when we started, ironically, before you and I even met. But how does it help the realtor besides just being the electronic transaction?
Oh, there's a couple of different things. It automates a lot of the processes that they do in a normal fashion. So, for example, when you used to, back in the day, you used to drive to your client's house to get something signed, we have a digital signature.
Oh, nice.
Or when you put tasks for all the contingencies and you normally would put them in your calendar, we automatically do that. So we automate a lot of the behind-the-scenes things that maybe a consumer may not know, yeah. but a realtor would know just from doing it on paper.
And all that document storage, you guys handle all that, too.
Yeah, we store all the documents. We save them for all the 7 years, depending on what state you're in.
I think that's why we started using you. We didn't want to buy filing cabinets. You know, you start a company, you don't have that much in the bank. You got, it's like, we don't need any filing cabinets around this place. So who came up with the name SkySlope?
That's a funny story. So I was a realtor at the time. I was doing a pretty decent amount of volume, and I needed this for myself. I looked at all the platforms on the market, found out that none of them worked, and so I created, at the time it was called Smith Premier Properties Portal Inc. I thought it was cool.
I like it.
I said, Mom, I've got a domain. And she said, that's a long, ugly domain, and I didn't know anything about it.
Mom came through with a little coaching, huh?
Yeah. And so it started to get some traction, and I said, I probably should separate this from my real estate business because I'm not making any money. It's the portal, and I'm making good money in real estate. And so I separated it. I told my assistant at the time, Jennifer, pick 9 names, something with the sky, because that's where the documents are. They're in the cloud,
okay.
and we'll just pull one out of a hat, and that's the story.
SkySlope.
SkySlope came out.
Which way is that slope going? It's going in the right direction right now, huh?
It is going in the right direction,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you started as a real estate agent, and you were doing a ton of business after the financial crisis.
Yeah.
And then how did that... migrate itself over to this business.
Yeah, so I got into real estate when I was 19. I bought a house with my best friend, didn't want to live with mom. Said, hey, Mom, I love you, but we're moving out. And so I moved out. He moved out of his mom's house, and we had a realtor who sold us a house, and she was just not great. And so I was like, if she could make $13,000 and do a bad job, I mean, I'm at 20, you're a millionaire if you have $13,000,
yeah.
right? And so I was like, sign me up. So right then, dropped out of college, called my mom and
Whoa.
Said, I'll pay you back one day when I make it, and I'm out, and I'm going to do this real estate thing. So went to
Bad realtor caused you to be a real estate agent.
That's
awesome.
Usually why realtors get into business. They had a bad experience. So I got in the business, struggled my first year, got a coach, and built my business up, you know, all the way to what to I was doing around 300 transactions a year personally, and then my team around right under 1,000, right over 1,000 a couple of years. So doing 1,000 units a year, found that I needed to store documents somewhere and be able to grab them in one place. So I'd have a client who would call, and I'd say, let me go grab the file. I'd have to look for the file. And so I didn't have the file. My assistant had a file. So it was just not organized. And so we started out with a simple concept of, let's just create a shared folder and put things there. And then we started adding workflows on top of that.
How important was that coach?
That was probably the biggest thing. I mean, I feel like I've got my master's degree or my doctorate in budgeting, in business, in just maturing, really. And, you know, my goal was I was really good at listening, and I was a dog with a bone. You know, I wanted to eat all the meat I can. And so I was really open to coaching. I think that's the first step is to be open to coaching. And then the second thing was just to know that this person is there to help you and to do more, knows more than you do. And so at 20, 21, to have a coach, it was like a business father growing up, per se. Mm-hmm. So it probably changed who I am today.
Yeah. And now you have, how many employees do you guys have now?
90 something.
Yeah, and you guys are growing like crazy. Yeah. You're the coach in some respects today, right?
I guess so. I mean, you know, I try to motivate realtors and give them my story and tell them what I did. And, you know, I think we all look for the 6 second abs, and it takes me 6 minutes to find my abs.
Oh,
and
so, stop. You're in great shape. So, this guy's an animal.
So, you know, it's I try to inspire and try to motivate and just give them experience of what I've done, because I think we all look for the quick fixes, and who doesn't, right? And the problem is it's you got to love the plateau and fall in love with that plateau, knowing that there's a peak coming.
And we're going to talk a little bit about philosophy when we come back from the break, but you have a philosophy about putting yourself in an area where you're uncomfortable. Can you share that real quick?
Yeah. So I like to try to say, I always say you should be comfortable in the uncomfortable. That's just what I like to do. And so I think when you get comfortable, you know, it's just life is boring for me and for me personally. And so there's a great book out there that talks about, you know, living with a seal for 30 days and how that we all give up and we're not tapping into, our true potential, and that we all give up at 40%. We still have 60% left in the reserve tank. And so I think about that philosophy on everything I do, whether it just be, you know, working out or whether it be, sleep or,
yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of things that our mindset and our mind plays a little bit to our disadvantages at times.
Put yourself in a little bit of pain every day. I am here with Tyler Smith, the guy that's got SkySlope is probably one of the fastest growing companies here in the Sacramento region. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tyler a little bit more about the company, more about his philosophy, and really how he developed some of that philosophy in his upbringing. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Sun Systems Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Tyler Smith, and we are talking about his business, SkySlope, and you guys are scaling like crazy. Ray, you haven't been doing this business. You've been doing real estate for a long time, but SkySlope's pretty new, right?
Yeah, we've been around about 5 years now.
But you've already got 90-something employees. What do you attribute to that growth?
You know, we started, you know, at our last office, we were there about 3.5 years ago, and we had 6 people, and we said, you know, we're never going to outgrow this space. And it was a space probably twice as big as this room. I don't know.
Right. We're in like about a 12 by 12 room, something like that.
And so, you've been to the office before. Yeah. And so it's an old beer bottling warehouse, which is pretty cool. And, we outgrew that. And so I think that was kind of the, you know, hey, we've got a great product. You know, it's not a beta or a test anymore. It's actually a product that people are finding value in. And so it's now time to, you know, really hire the right people and put some systems and processes in place so we can scale.
So since you had the right product, that's when you decided to grow.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for me, and, you know, so it was already a win in my eyes because I was using it for my own real estate practice. And then I had some friends and some top producers that I networked with that used it and loved it. And then I had my first brokerage that signed up. And from there, I saw the value and what it did to that brokerage and how they were able to not only save money, but be more efficient. And back then it was just, can they save more money and be more efficient? Obviously, it's come a long way since then.
Yeah.
But it was a win just with those two core principles. And so from there, we've just added and added and refined and made it better and went from California to Texas to Arizona to Nevada. And now we're, you know, in all 50 states.
That's amazing. Now, what's been the biggest challenge or hurdles that you've had to face as you scale a company like this?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge, I think, is always finding talent. You know, we're here in Sacramento, and you know,
we're talented here in Sacramento.
Yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah. Well, I was born and raised here, and so I'm proud of Sacramento, and I want to stay here. And so I think it's been a challenge just finding really good talent. You know, a lot of talent moves to, you know, maybe the Silicon Valley or New York or wherever, and they usually don't stay in Sacramento. I think that's changing now. We'll see. I mean, but it is changing. But I think talent's been the biggest struggle that we've had as far as a leadership perspective, and then also just experienced, you know, development teams.
Right. Yeah. You've got the part of it's a customer service that has a real estate knowledge, and then part of it is high tech stuff. So you need coders and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We need engineers, and so right now I think we have 18 or a team of 18 that do engineering.
Wow.
But you know, we're trying to, you know, right now we're hiring. We're trying to find 4 more engineers right now, and it's not an easy process. But we're, you know, and we are all also we're picky. You know, we don't want anyone who can just, you know, write lines of code. We want someone who can think critically and be, you know, creative at the same time.
How would you describe your existing team?
My real estate team?
The team that's, when I walk into your office, right, it's this big open floor plan, and people are having fun, they're high-fiving, they're motivated, they're upbeat. I mean, it's like the best vibe of a company that you can imagine. That's how I feel when I walk into your office. I'm guessing that's, you know, I don't know how that was built.
Well, so the number one thing when we moved into this office, even from the old office, we said we want music on throughout the entire day, and we want TV, whether it be sports, whether it be news, whether it be finance. So you've seen, we've got, mm-hmm. I think, 40 TVs or something like that.
Yeah.
And we said we've designed this to have high energy and to move at a fast pace. So almost like if you come in from the outside, you know, you'll leave and go, it's just, some people can't, it's a little too quick for them. You know, it moves a little too fast.
Yeah.
But that's what we want. You know, we want to move very, very quick in our office.
Yeah, you guys only want the most talented people. And I know your business partner plays a key role, right? You brought on a business partner at some point?
Yeah, so his name's DJ. And we knew each other in real estate. So he got into real estate the same time I did. I was 20, he was 19. And we were the youngest guys by far in the real estate office. And so he went off and stopped doing real estate, went back to college, and then did a startup and had an exit. He came back, wanted to buy a house. And I said, I'll pass you off to one of my assistants. They'll help you find a house. And he had he had a liquidation event and had some cash to buy a house, wanted to invest in real estate. I said, well, I'm doing this tech thing. I still got my real estate business, but, you know, I'll pass you off to someone who can help you. I'll find you a house. You coach me, you know about technology better than I do. I know real estate. I'm the practitioner. I know the business. You know how to, you know, build up and scale. And so that's kind of how it happened. SkySlip was already there, and we already had users.
Yeah.
But he started just advising, and I found him an investment property. And then from there, I said, hey, you know, move back from San Francisco back to your hometown and let's blow this up.
DJ and Tyler, a winning combination in real estate software. Now, where did you, Tyler, get your competitive nature?
Oh, I've always been competitive. I have a younger brother who's 12 and a half months apart. So we're
all... Did you used to kind of beat up on him a little bit?
Yeah, I did. I'm not too proud of it because he's like my best friend now, you know, now that we're older. But, you know, I think being that close, you know, just, I don't know, I've just always been competitive. My dad played ball and my mom...
Yeah, your dad was a pro football player.
Yeah, with the Packers. And my mom was... my mom's just been a very successful, you know, she's the executive director at a college right now. And she's just always been, you know, pushing us. I don't know. I don't know where I get it from. I just always wanted to be the best. I always want to win. I want to swim with the big dogs. You know, my goal was always to surround myself with people who are, you know, 10 times better than me. And so I think that just always kept me. I was always chasing them when my friends were maybe, you know.
I love that. When you joined Tyler is in my EO forum, my entrepreneurs organization forum. So we know each other pretty well. And Uriah is in our group, Uriah Faber. And we have a bunch of guys that are building businesses. And when you came in, I mean, you're so motivated. I think it motivated even the old man of the group, me. And it was cool. And I just thought, you know, and then I saw you at the Kings game, and you're in the front row of the Kings game, right? You're now have built a business that affords you the ability to sit in the front row at a Kings game. And I'm just thinking, man, I'm motivated when I'm around you. Every once in a while, I sit in the front row too, which I like. But that's, I mean, what does the future look like for Tyler Smith? What does success look like for you, Tyler?
Yeah, you know, for right now, you know, I everyone always says, what's your 5-year plan? I'm really in the moment right now. You know, and I have a vision in the long term, but I stay focused on the now, because I think we're always trying to look for that next thing. And that's when I think we miss the mark. For me, I mean, right now I'm focused on just growing the business. You know, I think we'll double in revenue. We'll double employee count in the next 12, 14 months. And that's the number one focus, you know, keeping an eye on the real estate brokers and agents, making sure we automate as much as we can for them to make sure that they can do what they should be doing, which is take care of their buyers and sellers.
Yeah. And you've never had to go out and get funding either. A lot of startups are going out and trying to raise money. You're doing it bootstrapped.
Yeah, we bootstrapped it. You know, thankfully I did pretty well in real estate where I was able to fund it myself.
What a great story, Tyler. I mean, sorry to interrupt you there. We're going to have to go to break, but I think about scaling a company, and most guys need some financing. And so I'm going to give a little plug to my buddies over at Five Star Bank, and they're the Entrepreneurs Bank. These guys are partners with a business owner. I bank with these guys. Anyway, they do a great job. So to my friends over at Five Star, you guys rock. When we return, we will meet my buddy Tim Herman, dentalpreneur extraordinaire, the man behind A-Plus Dental. Tim also serves as the city council person for the city of Roseville. And we will be back on Sports 1140. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited. I'm Mark Haney. We'll see you in a minute. All right. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Sun Systems Technology. I'm Mark Haney. And today, I have the pleasure of being joined by Tim Herman. I've been calling him a dentalpreneur extraordinaire, but he's the man behind A-Plus Dental Care. But Tim, you also serve as a city council person for the city of Roseville. How do you do all that?
I don't sleep a lot.
How many hours a week do you work?
I see patients about 28 hours a week and probably manage the office another 20 hours a week, 30 hours a week, and then find about 7 hours a week or so to do city council stuff.
Okay, so I'm not a math guy. That's a lot of hours. Okay, let's find out about you and your business. So you work like crazy, but you're building a business, A-Plus Dental Care. Tell us about the business and what you're doing in building it.
So A-Plus Dental Care is a 42-year-old dental practice, and my partners and I have been growing the practice for a long time. I've been there for 28 years, and growing and growing, and we had 3 locations, and then last year we were approached by some business guys that wanted to partner with us and to help us grow A-Plus Dental Care in the 6-county Sacramento region, and we, after going through a lot of negotiations, decided that these are 2 really quality guys.
Nice.
And so we partnered with them, and so since then we've added another office, and we've got 2 more that technically aren't ours yet, but soon to be. So we've gone from 3 offices at the start of the year to 6 at the end of the year.
And go ahead.
And looking to continue to grow and have ways for other dentists to exit strategies and to help them grow.
Right. Now, you're growing through acquiring, right? This is some kind of roll-up strategy. Can you explain what the strategy is?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of dentists that are my age, 55 or so, that are thinking, how do I get out? You know, how do I sell my practice? And,
right.
And historically, professionals have kind of let their practices shrink as they get older, and so they're not worth as much. So what we can do now is come in and buy their practices now, give them a way out, pay them what their practice is worth in today's dollars, and then they can work for us and with us for the remainder of their career, enjoying doing dentistry like they did when they got out, and kind of take off the HR issues that many dentists get tired of dealing with.
Kind of centralize some of the processes.
Yeah, bring in processes, software systems, centralized billing systems, really take a lot of those headaches away from them.
And when you're analyzing one of those deals, right, you're the managing partner, so you're looking at these deals. Are you looking for synergies?
Yeah, you know, you want to look at kind of location, how they're doing. You want to make sure they're successful. We want to buy successful practices. We want to maintain the staff, maintain the doctors that are there, because we just don't have an ATM machine to print a new doctor.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we've got the doctors that are successful and in a region, and then strategically locate them so that, you know, we've got a good footprint.
I've been around combining a few companies, and culture is so important. How do you deal with that high-level important issue when you put 2 companies together, you start bolting on companies? Sometimes there's cultural issues.
That's a big issue, and it's something you have to pay a lot of attention to. And in the offices that we're acquiring now, we're bringing them in. And fortunately, our partners have very big influence and investment in culture and growing their culture. So along with us. So we may not use the same words, but we're doing the same thing. So it's just kind of figuring out. They talk about the G3 platform, which is greeting, guiding, and gratitude when you're taking care of your patients and your fellow coworkers, and really looking at what you're taking care of and who you're taking care of and how you're doing it. So I want to make sure that we focus on taking really good care of our staff and our patients and make sure that, you know, we create smiles for everyone.
Ah, nice. Now, being a dentist, you know, most people don't like their dentist, right? Because when you go to the dentist, it's usually, you know, I just think when I go to the dentist, the guy's got, his name's Mark, Mark Arena. I don't know if you know him or not. He's my dentist. And he's always got his hands in my mouth and he's moving around. And then he's trying to talk to me and ask me a question. Hey, Mark, how about those Niners? You got into any games this year? Oh, let's go, yeah, Kaepernick. You know, like I can barely talk, but he keeps talking through the entire thing like I'm supposed to speak back to him. It's uncomfortable.
You know, I think people don't like going to the dentist, but hopefully they like their dentist. You know, that's the way I've always taken it, no matter what they say to me.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and Mark ought to stop talking to him when he's got his hands in his mouth.
Yeah, but, come on, Mark.
I actually don't ask questions of patients with my hands in their mouth. So,
yeah.
So I think it's one of those things that, you know, it is, we want to create a practice and practices that patients want to go to.
Yeah.
We really want to make sure that we're giving quality care, top quality care with convenience, convenient hours, convenient times, and making sure that we're taking care of their insurance, and we accept most insurance plans so that patients don't have to spend a lot of money and virtually, you know, no out of pocket for any preventive services. So patients can really get in, and it's convenience and quality and care.
It sounds good, but I still don't know if I like dentists. I also don't like Dodger fans. I ran into Carol Garcia, City of Roseville, the other day at an event. She had heard that you're coming on the show, and she said you need to give them a little bit of a hard time about you being a Dodger fan. What's up with that?
You know, I grew up in Southern California with Garvey Say, Russell, and Lopes, and saw my first Dodger game with Don Drysdale pitching. So
you fell in love.
You know, I am a Dodger fan.
Well, at least you're loyal. I love that about you, Tim. Now, you're also a city council person. I am loyal to my hometown, City of Roseville. My wife was the HR director there and retired, but we have I'm going to be buried in the City of Roseville. We've already bought our plots this last year. So that's my hometown. That's where I'll live the majority of my time, even though I live in Loomis now. Now, what's it like being a city council person?
You know, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy get to, you know, it's very different than dentistry, you know, where you're working on people. City council lets me look at big picture, and I really look at the city council as a policy board. You know, it's not an operational board. If I wanted to be operations, I wouldn't need a city manager. So we're really there to create a good, strong policy and then have a great team.
Keep the government from spending too much money.
We really work very hard, and you know, and Stacy, you know, your wife was very integral in trying to keep us from spending too much money at her job.
She had a business guy in her ear full time,
and you know, hopefully, I didn't chase her off. But you know, so we really do want to make sure that we're doing things, and there's some great, exciting things happening in Roseville and in the surrounding area that we're they've been. The most important things for me as being on city council was higher education.
Yeah, no, you guys have done a great job of planning. If you look at the way Roseville's laid out with the police and the fire and the parks, it's a great quality of life in Roseville. What do you look for? I mean, what do you see in the immediate future for Roseville?
Well, the immediate future is continue, positive growth, more housing. We've approved a bunch of lots in the west area of town, and that's continuing as the economy has gotten better since the recession to continue to grow. We've got university proposals. We've got the new office building downtown that went into third floor of Sierra College are going to take over. And basically help the city pay for that building for the next 10 years, moving some of the community ed programs downtown. We've just voted a couple council meetings ago to sell our old fire station and land on both sides to the University of Warwick to put their grad school down. And they plan on having classes starting September 2018.
Wow.
And then they have land just west of the city limits that was donated by the Sakopoulos family and their partners to build an undergrad campus. And so they're going to break ground in probably 2021 on that.
Yeah, for people that don't know Roseville as well, the downtown area is being revitalized. It's got some new blood down there, and it's got Monk's Cellars and some other nice restaurants. Randy Peters has got a cool thing going on out there. But if you get out to the west part of town, there's a lot of open space out there. I mean, you have Warwick going out there, but there's a lot more going out there.
There are, you know, there's Roseville always develops in specific plans. So they take a, you know, work with the developers to get a big chunk of land, and then they go in there, okay, where are we going to put houses, where are we going to put schools, where are we going to put places of worship, where are we going to put retail? And so it's all planned out. So it may not look, you know, as it starts that it's there, but when it's all finished, it's been planned. So traffic patterns and energy and water and all those things have been planned from the start. And, you know, Roseville's been well managed long before I got on the council, and hopefully it's going to be well managed long after I leave.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's so important. But where do you see, I mean, you guys have done such a great job, and your predecessors have as well. Where do you see Roseville in the, when you look at the entire region, how does Roseville fit into the entire Sacramento region?
You know, Roseville used to be kind of an afterthought, and it was all Sacramento, and Sacramento's our state capital and the biggest city. But Roseville is very business-friendly and very forward-thinking. I see us getting research parks. I see us getting more higher education, higher paid jobs, and does the quality of life in Roseville continue to go?
Well, when I was a kid, I think there was like 6,000-8,000 people in Roseville. What's the population now?
About 135.
135. Where do you see it in, say, 5 or 10 years? You have projections?
Yep. 10 years, by it's probably going to be 165 in 10 years, I'm guessing. We've got housing to be a little over 200,000.
Okay, so you, I mean, you think about scaling a business or scaling a community. Sacramento's growing. We keep in the Kings, and so Sacramento looks like it's on fire for economic development. I mean, what are you thinking about in terms of economic development for the city?
Economic development for the city, one of the big things we're looking at is truly a research park and partnering with the university to create a research park. There's 300 acres that is north-ish in the city that would be cut off by the proposed Placer Parkway that we're looking at partnering with the university to do a research park there. And so that would be a huge thing. And then all the land at HP, that although HP is, you know, shrinking there a little bit as things are changing with that corporation, that all the buildings are going to be filled up with something else. It'll be medical offices, and so that whole HP campus is going to probably have twice as many people as it did at one point when HP was at its largest.
And I got to ask you, I mean, it sounds like, I love how much you know about, you've been in this, you and I used to play basketball together back when our kids were little, and so we've known each other a long time, and I love your commitment to the community, but I got to ask you, I mean, what's it like running for council? I mean, you got to go put yourself out there on the ballot. I mean, and you know, it's got to be, I don't know, everybody's got to vote for you. I'm just assuming that can be, I don't know if that's scary. What's the emotion that goes through your mind when you know it's election day and people are trying to decide whether they're going to vote for you or not?
So I've been on the ballot 3 times, and fortunately I've won twice. The first time I ran for anything was the Roseville High School Board in 2004, and I lost.
Oh.
And it really is not fun when you have people over to your house for kind of an election night party, and you see the results come in, and it's like, oh, good night, everybody.
That's probably how Hillary felt the other night.
Yeah.
I hate it when that happens.
I hate it when that happens. You know, 6 years later, I decided to run for city council, and it's a lot of work. Running for city council is a lot of work. Being on the council it's fun. It's enjoyable. I mean, people think it's fun. I enjoy it. It's a lot of work and exciting
so
things
after
that we're doing.
The election is over, it's fun. It's a lot of work. But the election process is, especially after losing, you know, you're 0-1. You're going into the next one. I mean, was there trepidation?
You know, for me, I just had to get back up on the mound. You know, you throw a home run, you got to get back out there, you know.
Man, I love it.
And, you know, so that's, it was just a matter, you know, I had support from a lot of good friends with Carol Garcia, as you mentioned, and Aldo Panesci, and you know, I had been president of the Chamber of Commerce and been involved, and so you just got to knock on a lot of doors, and you knock on a lot of doors in Sun City because the Sun City residents vote early and vote often.
Oh, nice. Good idea.
And so you're out there. Now, all the houses are close together. They're not like the bigger neighborhoods, but you have to walk them, and I started walking neighborhoods probably in August when it's, you know, 110 degrees.
Well, and so, yeah, you're used to, well, you're an athlete too, right? You and I play basketball together. You run marathons. So you could walk some Del Webb neighborhoods, no problem.
That's just how I got my training done during the campaign years, was doing a lot of walking in neighborhoods.
How did you, okay, so we only have a little bit of time left, but we all have these philosophies that we develop. I think a lot of times they start when you're young. And you've got some perseverance, obviously. You're a hard worker. Where did you develop your philosophy from?
You know, I think I'm one of seven. I have a big family, and my parents worked really hard to feed us and clothe us and house us, and just I always worked hard. It's just kind of what I did.
It was just expected. And one of seven. I mean, did they? Were you fighting for attention?
No, I. You know. I was the golden child.
You're so the favorite.
I always had a smile on my face, so everybody stopped by and fed me or gave me stuff, so it was good. When you have big sisters and you smile at them, they make you cookies and things. No, I think it was just a matter of working real hard, and I enjoyed sports. I enjoyed school. So it was just something that is in me, and fortunately, I don't need a lot of sleep, so that helps.
That does help. Tim Herman, the dentalpreneur, sharing his story. I want to thank you for coming on the show today, Tim. I also want to have a thank you to Tyler Smith, who is in the next room hanging by. And a thank you to Rockland Audi. I should be able to say that, Rockland Audi. My wife has two Audis, and I can't even pronounce it. We got them from Rockland Audi. And you know what? These guys are sponsoring the show, and I need to sell some Audis. So if you can help me out, I need to sell a couple Audis, keep them coming back as a sponsor. That would be appreciated. Come down to Toy Row in Rockland. They're right across the street from me, so come by. I'll hook you up with Luke Smith, and we'll make sure we get you a heck of a deal. Also, a shout-out to Casey Taylor of Del Oro High School and the Del Oro High School football team. These guys are playing tonight for the state championship. They're going to try to make it a back-to-back over at Sac State tonight. Shout out to Haney Garcia Realty Group. They've got their Socks for Soldiers campaign going on down there today. So bring down some socks. And I'm gonna share this real quick story of Socks for Soldiers. So we give these socks for soldiers, and we take them over to Blue Star Moms, and the Blue Star Moms package this stuff and send it over to guys that are overseas. And you know, you think about, hey, that's a cool thing to do. You got parents coming together, communities coming together. But my wife tells the story better than I do. But I think it was last year, or the year before, we got a letter back from one of the guys that was deployed overseas, and he said, "You know, to the Blue Star Moms, I want to thank you. When I got your package, it just lit up my world. And because, you know, I was in a bad spot at that time, just being lonely and scared, and that was the day I was planning on killing myself. And I got your package, and." I kept it going. So anyway, those are the kind of things that happen when you get back to your community. It may seem kind of small, drop off some socks somewhere, but it can really make an impact at the time. So anyway, don't miss our special Christmas show next week. We're going to have Greg Conley, the CEO of fast-growing healthy meal delivery business. He will join us, but we will also share the story of Shane Anderson. Shane ambitiously pursuing his entrepreneurial dream in Mexico and was horrifically kidnapped and held for ransom. He'll be here next week to share that story. When we return, I will share my closing thoughts about scaling our businesses. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. So you want to grow your business, you want to grow your career. I guess if you're still listening, I'm thinking, there's a part of you that wants to grow, right? Maybe even needs to grow, has to grow. I mean, it's like inside you deep. It's like, I got to do something with my life, with my business. I mean, maybe I need to help people, right? Maybe I'm all about helping people. Maybe I have something to prove. Maybe it's something I got to prove to my family, my friends, my community. I want to help people. Maybe I have something to prove to myself. Yeah, I'm back here with Tom Cisneros and Marcus Haney. Today we had a great show. We had Tyler, we had Tim. They shared their stories. Obviously, extremely motivated guys. Obviously, they have something to prove, and they're helping people.
Absolutely. I thought Tyler was fantastic when he started talking about, you know, he worked in the real estate industry, found a niche, and attacked it hard and brought in his best friend from high school, and they really built something together. Really cool story.
How about you, Tommy? Any takeaways today?
I'm just always blown away about the very short story, which really took place on Facebook Live in between segments about the book Living with the Seal for 30 Days. Yeah. I'm going to run out, and I'm going to get that book.
Yeah, I mean, it's this show, it's great, I think, for all of us, for our listeners. I learn something new on every show, and I think when guys come in like this, sometimes even if it's not new information, it kind of confirms what you already know a little bit. We all know there's different kinds of pain, right? There's the pain of sitting on the couch and you wake up one day and you're like, oh, you know, I could have, would have, should have done that. Or there's the pain of actually getting in, like Tyler Smith was talking about, and doing it, doing the work every day, putting yourself in that uncomfortable zone every day, because that's how you get better.
Reaffirmation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's necessary.
Yeah. So I was thinking as the show is going on, about scaling businesses, like how fast to grow. And we obviously have a number of businesses now. They're all at different stages. You guys got some startup stuff happening. We've got other businesses that are a little bit more mature, you know, with offices around the country and so on. But in my old world, right, I came from the security industry, and we had five companies, and we grew pretty fast. And so the question of, like, how fast should I grow, I keep thinking about the answer maybe is, how fast can I do it correctly, right?
No. So you don't want to
don't want to run yourself off the side of the road, but yet we all have dreams. We all have a passion to be a little bit different. Even if some of us won't admit that, I think we all want to grow, because if you're not growing, you're dying. So, but how fast do you push it is a, I guess that's the question. And then if you're going to push it, what do you do? And I've decided that I was going to focus, I think, for these closing thoughts on what I decided that a philosophy, first of all, there's two things that the CEO or the entrepreneur has got to do. And I think it's, one of them is focus on the resources that he has, right? The CEO himself is in charge of allocating those resources, right? And those are tough decisions, right? You've only got so much money. Your resources look a little bit different, but our biggest resource is our people, right? The biggest resource any company has as it's thinking about growing, the biggest resource is its people. And the other thing that I think the entrepreneur and the CEO is most responsible for is articulating the vision, right? Articulating the values, the philosophies, the mission. Where are we going? There's nobody more important in the growth of a business than the guy at the top sharing that vision and communicating that vision. And I would even venture to go out on a limb and say, we over-communicate that vision so that everybody gets it and buys in. So those two things, I mean, those are key. And I think when I was growing my businesses, you know, we ran into the same challenges that I think any growing business is going to have. I mean, we grew pretty fast. We went from 30 to 50 to 85 to 115 to 150 million. I mean, a year after year after year, we ended up with over 200 million in sales, 300 employees, super fast growth, five companies, a lot of challenges. And I just keep thinking about, how do you grow that fast with your people? And, you know, for us, I met with every individual employee every day. Not every day, but when they first started, on their first day of work, on their third day of work, on day 30, on day 60, we had company meetings where I was hands-on in knowing every employee on the team. I learned what made these guys tick. I learned about how my goals, the goals of the company, overlap with their goals, and we tried to find that alignment. And knowing your people is key. You have to know your new people. If you're going to go out and hire a lot of, Tyler went from 6 to 90 people, right? In just a few years, you have to know your new people. You have to. And I always focused, our philosophies were written on the wall. I've talked about that a little bit. But one of the philosophies that I think that we need to articulate in a growing company, because in a growing company, there's opportunity. Like opportunity that you can't even imagine when you're in a regular company that's not growing. It's like anybody who's ever been in a company like Tyler Smith, where you're going from 6 employees to 100 employees in 3 years, right? I've helped lead some of those type companies, and opportunity is created when you grow like that, especially when you promote from within. And I know Tyler's done that a lot. You heard one of his assistants been with him 9 years or something like that. That's, if you promote from within, but you also know your new people, that's the key. And I think the philosophy that stood out to me the most that I learned and that I articulated as I learned it as we were growing our business is that it's okay to be great. Right? It's okay to be different. If you're an employee and you're deciding you're in one of those companies that's growing like crazy, maybe you should not think about how everybody else is operating around that business. Maybe you should be thinking about being great, different, exceptional. What are the opportunities that exist in a growing business? You might not even know. Your next business partner, Tom, you're getting ready to get, you earned an entrepreneurial opportunity because you were the hardest working guy on the team. That is obvious. And now you're going to lead a new venture in a security company. That's comes from hard work. That comes from understanding. When you're in a growing company, man, maybe I need to step up. It's okay to be great. And so I communicated that to my team back in the day when we were growing to 200 million and all the companies. And I remember when we went to one of the things about knowing your employees is when you go, every company's going to go through the ups and downs. And when we had a guy that got promoted from within. Everybody told me it was crazy. He started as a temp worker, a 10 buck an hour guy, went to be a warehouse manager 6 months later because we were growing so fast. He was the best guy on the team. He was a Tom type of guy and became the warehouse manager. He ends up being, within a year, he's the president. He's an ex-military guy. He ends up being the president of the company, right, of our manufacturing company, one of our five companies, which was a significant size company. Anyway, I just remember when we were going through he brought his right hand man along with him, and his right hand man was a guy named John Fan. And I remember in the 2008 crisis, right? You think about knowing your new people, right? So I knew every guy, and we had to make some tough cuts, tough changes at that time. So the president of the company that had moved up from the warehouse worker and me are getting up there talking about some of the changes that we're making. And we talked about, we had used the term all in. You know, when you're in, when you're playing poker and you're trying to decide how much to bet, right? These guys were all in, right? My right-hand man, my president of my company was all in. His right-hand man was all in. So we were sharing this story about, or this situation that we had to make some changes. And I just remember this John Fan, the warehouse manager of that company, in the middle of, some tough decisions, he threw his wallet. He threw his keys out in the middle of the sales floor, and he said, "You know what, Mark? I'm all in. You can have everything. You can have everything I got. I'll take a pay cut, whatever you need me to do." That comes from people who have reached some opportunity. Wow. That comes from being all in. I'll never forget that, John. I thank you. I thank my teammates for sticking by me. So Tom and Marcus, appreciate you guys sticking by me as well. Never above you. Never below you.
Always by your side.